we always try to make sure that people don't unsubscribe from our emails. But if they are doing unsubscribe, let them go. Make it easier for them to leave. Because one email address unsubscribe is fine versus receiving one complaint, right? Which is going to affect you on a long term, right? People and brands focus on the short-term revenue by focusing and not giving that preferences and options to the customers. But then in long run, they affect their deliverability.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focus podcast. If you're not familiar with the Keep Optimizing format, well, here we go. We release 5-episode mini-series that dive deep into one e-commerce marketing topic. It could be a channel like email or SEO or Meta, or a big topic like acquisition, retention, or analytics. In each episode, new ones released on Wednesdays, I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. And then after each 5-episode mini-series, we take a week off to give you time to take action on what you've learned. At the moment, we've been spending 5 episodes exploring email marketing. So in this episode, we are talking about email marketing because it's the last of our set of 5. We are going to be talking deliverability again in this one. So vaguely similar to last time, but also completely different. Whereas last episode, we were all about list cleaning before you send, this time we're all about email lifecycle strategy and how to make sure that's bringing you the right results, both in income and in future deliverability. Our guest for this is phenomenal. He goes into so many areas of cool stuff you're going to want to implement. I have a massive list of things to do as a result of listening to this, of recording this episode. So I know you're going to be coming away with loads of great takeaways from this one. So be ready. You're probably, after you hear it, going to want to either go to the website and grab the transcript or listen again. It's got that much packed into it. And this will be the last in our series on email marketing for this year. So make sure you catch up on anything you've missed, because that means that next week we won't be putting out an episode to give you time to take time to catch up and to take action. Make sure you listen right to the end of this episode, because as well as the episode, it's the main interview part of the episode being absolutely packed with ideas you're going to want to hear. The insider tips are also packed with such advice. So make sure you stay tuned to the end. I think it would be impossible to be in e-commerce and not have heard of Klaviyo. Over 193,000 brands in over 80 countries use Klaviyo to drive their email marketing, SMS campaigns, and sales performance. The way Klaviyo are incorporating AI and personalization across the platform is one to watch for all of us, enabling their users to really push ever upwards the performance of their customer communications. If you want to see what you can now get with the Klaviyo platform, maybe have a poke around to work out if it's yet time to migrate, then you can sign up for a free trial right now. Just head to keepopt.com/Klaviyo and find out if it's time for you to make the move. In this episode, I'm chatting with email expert Chintan Doshi. Chintan is Senior Director of Marketing Automation at Mavlers, a global email marketing and CRM agency with over 700 people across 52 countries. Day to day, he works across multiple platforms, including Salesforce Marketing Cloud, Braze, Klaviyo, and HubSpot, driving performance for global clients. Hello, Chintan.
Hey, Chloe. Super excited to be part of your podcast.
Very cool to have you here. And I say, I'm kind of, I can be a bit of a systems geek, and I'm kind of jealous you get to play with all those platforms on a weekly basis, you know, like really get to grips with what the pros and cons are of each and how to do things in different places, the different language. So I'm quite jealous. How did you get to this place in email? How did your journey lead to email marketing?
So my journey into email, that moves back to 2013, 2014, right? Back in the days of Blackberries, right? Where Blackberry was quite famous, and responsive email was not something which was quietly adopted. People were still getting emails on their desktop. Mobile was still into the adoption phase. That was the time when I moved into the email world, majorly into email design and development as a capabilities and skills, and then slowly and gradually expanded myself into email marketing, lifecycle marketing, and now into MarTech. So it's been a good journey of around 8 to 12 years, right, focusing on different parts of the lifecycle marketing. But yeah, things has quite evolved from being responsive to now AI and email. So it's an amazing journey, and had great opportunity to learn about email marketing and also work with multiple brands and customers in my journey overall with the agency world.
I do think it's one of the coolest things about email. And I think, if I'd ever specialized in one, it would either have been email or performance marketing. It would have been like the ad platforms or the email. And I suspect all other things being equal, it would actually have been email, because there's endless layers you can peel off it, endless bits you can get into. And there's always something to improve, whether it's a new piece of tech or a new concept. So I'm really pleased to get to talk about all this with you, and especially pleased with the topic we're going to be covering today, which is all about life cycle strategy, which I suppose for me, life cycle strategy feels like the pulling of all of it together, all the nitty gritty bits and the big picture to create something better as the whole. I suspect you explain it better than that. So how would you explain life cycle strategy within email marketing?
So strategy is a generic word. Like I'm sure you would have heard a lot about that. Okay, we are implementing marketing automation strategy, lifecycle marketing strategy. But then ultimately the strategy which I personally get aligned with is something which helps you to get the business outcome, right, from the channel. So if I'm able to get some business outcome by leveraging email, SMS, push, or in-app, like multiple channels, right, that's the strategy which I would like more aligned with, rather than talking about that, okay, make some improvements into your technical setup of your Salesforce Marketing Cloud or Retrieval or Klaviyo, right? Those are not strategies. Those are like tactical recommendations, right, which helps you to get the best out of your platform, right, or marketing automation platform. But if you want to get the best out of the channel, right, let's say email, that's where you need to think about that, what actually your subscribers and customers are looking forward to, what they are expecting from you, right? It's beyond the platform, right? Platform are just a medium, but ultimately that's the channel which you need to focus on. And in my definition of lifecycle marketing strategy, what I normally want to focus on is how I can get or provide value to the customers of our brand, right, which we are working with, how they can get the best out of those customer base, how they can make sure that they provide value, content, right, which helps them grow further with their customer base. So that's what I get aligned with when we talk about lifecycle marketing strategy.
I think your definition is considerably better than mine. But we're here to talk about lifecycle strategy through the lens, I suppose, of deliverability, which I think is an area of email that gets neglected too often and is one of the biggest benefits of properly embracing your overall email strategy. Just in case, for those listening who aren't fully aware of the importance of email deliverability, why do we care of it? What's the cost of not caring about our deliverability?
I definitely get aligned with you when you said that deliverability is something which people are aware, or they would have heard this term, but not something they would be implementing into their overall marketing strategy. Because in my understanding, deliverability is outcome of your good lifecycle strategy. If you have a good strategy in place, right, you will be able to make sure that your emails are actually getting placed into the inbox, right? Because it's not only about just seeing that email has been sent. That's only one part of it, right? Deliverability is more than that, right? But normally brands don't focus on that, and then they tend to have affect their customer experience, affect their brand reputation, domain reputation, right? Which creates a larger challenge in the longer run. If I have to talk about the cost, right? Like what is the cost of, or where they majorly lack, right, in terms of the revenue, right? Deliverability failure is quite silent. Like your dashboard says delivered, that you had a 10,000 emails delivered, but revenue says otherwise. You don't get that both connected. I'm sure you are across, and you just talked about performance marketing versus email as a channel. Every brand is focusing on paid acquisition, right? Try to get more traffic, more audience, and get them subscribe to their newsletters, products. Paid acquisition is the one which breaks first, right? If your welcome emails are landing into spam, that means that you are paying CAC, but not getting anything out in return, right? So that's an investment you made as a brand, but your emails are not landing into the inbox, and that affects your overall revenue. If your domain gets burned, right, because of the deliverability, it affects the transactional comms, right? Let's say OTP emails, receipts, right? Order delivery notifications. And that's always increases the ticket or let's say support process. So if you have a support team, their tickets will go on increasing because the customers won't be receiving the transactional emails. The corrupted analytics is one other area where you try to do A-B testing, the experimentation, right? But you are doing it in an audience who has never seen your email. So I'm not sure how the brand would be able to get the outcome of those A-B testing. And the biggest challenge is if you are affected by the deliverability, right? If your domain reputation is getting a hit, normally the recovery takes around 6 to 12 weeks and you need to do a staggered or a throttled sending. You can't just do blast to everyone. And that's happening in a revenue critical period, right? So that's an area, or these are the focus pointers where you tend on keeping losing your new subscribers, existing subscribers, right? And ultimately affects your revenue, even though your marketing automation dashboard says that you have a good inbox delivery rate.
I always find it fascinating, the deliverability, that you've got like your top 10% of customers who open every email and who buy regularly from you. And then you start doing some kind of reactivation or something a bit dodgy in deliverability terms over here, and that destroys the performance of this, you know, because it's so interlinked. It doesn't matter that Bethany has opened every email in the last year and clicked on half of them and reopened them and interacted in all the good ways possible if you've done something else that's led to whoever her inbox provider is deciding that you're bad. Bethany's not hearing from you anymore. There's so much to lose, I always think, with deliverability. But then at the same time, if you start doing well, there's so much to gain as well, because suddenly the next Bethany is seeing all your emails in the inbox instead of the promos tab or something.
Yep. So that's what it connects to, the inbox trust. We normally feel that, okay, the email clients, let me Gmail, Yahoo, are the ones which flags your domain. But that's not the case. They are just a scorekeeper. They just keep your score on where you are rated by your customers and by your subscribers. The example which you gave of Bethany, right? If Bethany was expecting a certain set of content from your brand, and if you are delivering it, there are lesser chances that they would be marking you as spam, right? Because I subscribed for something which I was interested. I know that what I was expecting from the brand during the welcome series, I'm getting the value out of the content which the brand is delivering. There's nothing which makes me push to mark you as a spam, right? So if you are having audiences who is having a consent, right? You have taken the consent from them. They are regularly opening an email, right? They are constantly interacting with your emails, right? Be it opens, clicks, which you refer, right? That increases the inbox trust, right? It's not going to affect your the score. So normally brands always feel that, okay, we should try to make sure that Gmail, Yahoo Mail, and Outlook and similar other clients are having a good score. But that's not the case. You should not focus on the provider. You should focus on your customers and subscribers, on what they are getting. If they would be on Gmail or they would be on any other email clients. But you need to make sure that you try to deliver things which are value addition to them. And for that, what we normally use as a term is called inbox trust, right? From a customer experience perspective. So if you don't build that trust, Gmail spam filter is your customer's aggregated behavior, right? I might hit a spam. I might delete your emails, right, without reading. And those are all the notifications and signals which the email clients takes and reviews it for that particular domain. So what I would recommend for a brand to focus on inbox trust specifically, right, is to focus on the positive areas, right? Like how you can start getting replies of your communications, right? How you can make sure that your emails are moved to primary, because if I'm interested in your email, I'll move your domain and email into the primary inbox, not marking you as spam, right? If by default it has gone into a spam, moving them to primary inbox is the signal which is being sent to the email client. So authentication normally gets you judged, right? But it's the engagement which helps you to get inboxed into the email client.
I love how you describe that, because I think it's so easy when we're talking about deliverability to think it's techie. And it's not. It's like so much about the end consumer's habits and what they do with your emails, which if you're not building that inbox trust and sending them what they're expecting and all these other layers of it, you're just not going to get the results. Before we go into kind of more of the practicalities of actually delivering this, we are living in a world where there are increasing amounts of privacy changes coming in in the whole of the world, really, at all levels of our lives, very much on the web with cookies, et cetera, very much with emails. How do you find this is changing how you're tackling this?
In my opinion and the learning so far, which I have taken, privacy changes are completely reshaping the signals which the lifecycle marketers can rely on. Back in like 2016, 2018, you were still able to rely on open rates, right? Which were the signals for you that, okay, people are at least getting engaged with your email if they open it. But nowadays, I'm sure you are across that open rates are just a vanity metrics. And because of Apple's MPP update, like majority of the opens are like not genuine. So privacy protections is definitely affecting the overall signals which marketers were relying in past, but should not rely now in the current period, right? Opens are dead as a decision metric. You can't just take your or define your strategies just based on the open, right? The new currency in the lifecycle marketing is the actions, the engagement, right? Which the user or the customers are taking on. So focus on first-party behavioral signals, which I recommend to the customers and the brands we work with, where you should focus on clicks, purchases, activities which is happening on your website, mobile app, right? The replies you are getting. Focus on the customer preferences, right? Making sure that you provide meaningful insights and communication to them. Focus on the overall business outcome, like what you were able to generate out of the email or other channels, right? Rather than just talking about like, okay, we increased open rate by 20% or 30%. Shift your reporting specific to customers' action rather than campaign metrics, because that shows that, okay, what are the actions taken by customers? How much was the retention? How much was the revenue attribution or the contribution, right? Specific to the channels. And one other area which is nowadays like a hot topic in the delivery is like how you can build the trust through transparency, right? You need to be transparent with your customers, right? Making sure that customers are often open to share willingly the data which the brands ask for, right? But brands need to clearly communicate how they will be leveraging the data, right? So if you're asking me to fill a survey or a quiz, right? I don't mind, right? If it's going to help me get better insights and good value in the emails. But if you're not leveraging it the right way, right? No one would be engaging with it. And the last and the most important part, back in 2016, 2018, right? You were not having AI as a tool or a area which will help you to like check the patterns, right? Signals, right? But now with AI coming into all the marketing automation platforms, you should try to leverage AI as much as possible, right? Because AI can help you identify trends and help you with the prediction, right? And also predict the engagement, the next best action which your customers are going to take. So privacy changes has reshaped overall, but there are still good areas which you need to focus on. One suggestion and recommendation, which we have already given it to a customer 2 weeks back, was many brands still doesn't have Google Postmaster tools set up, right? Because that's your signal that, okay, how I'm doing good into Gmail, right? So make sure that you have something set up which you constantly monitor and get those signals, because every email client is getting matured, right? They are getting advanced, right, in terms of scanning the right domain and making sure that the users and the customers are getting the right emails into the right places. So these are the signals which I feel is going to help the marketers and making sure that even if there's a privacy change, you still focus on the outcomes and adding value to the customers based on the communication you are doing.
Love that advice, especially the mention of Google Postmaster tools. Listeners to the previous episode before this one will know that Google Postmaster tools got mentioned in that, and I admitted that I had forgotten about Google Postmaster tools and hadn't looked at it in a while. And embarrassingly, since that one was recorded and between now and now, I still haven't looked at it. So I'm going to have to put that high on my to-do list tomorrow, because just everybody listening, so you know, even those of us who are supposed to be expert at this-ish, me, failed to do it. So I'm put it on all your to-do list. Go and have a look at Google Postmaster tools and get it set up if you haven't. So willing to admit my failure there, Chintan. So thank you for the double reminder. How you talked about the different signals here. Do you have like a deliverability dashboard that you run for clients? And if so, what do you have on it and how often are you updating it?
In terms of the delivery dashboard, right? Like in my understanding, what we discuss with our customer, it's not purely about the open rate, right? Because deliverability, as I mentioned, is just more than the open rate now, right? You need to focus on, and there are multiple dashboards. There could be a CMO dashboard, like the chief marketing officer, what they need to look into. They don't need to look into the vanity metrics, like how much sends were there, how much was the delivery rate, and how much opens were there, right? Because these are like just a single vanity metrics, which helps you to know that, okay, emails are progressing, that your emails has landed. But actual outcome comes when you start reviewing metrics such as like engagements on your channels, right? Be it activity, which helped you to take an activity on email, app, right? Or let's say website, right? How much time spent on email, like after reviewing? There are tools which are there, which helps you to see that, okay, how much time I spent on your email, right? How much engagement was there, be it clicks, be it visiting the website on the simultaneous time when the email was deployed. And then the best part is more around the business outcomes, which we try to connect on that dashboard. That is more around the retention. What is the customer retention rate? How much customers we were able to convert from subscribers to new customers, right? That is the signals which is needed for a CMO rather than just an email generic matrix. It also needs to talk about like, what is your revenue per recipient, right? Because if you have a healthy list, right? And if you are like segregating these domains and suppress them and remove it from your account, right? You will come to know that, okay, it's only a handful set of people, right, or percentage of people who are actually getting the emails on from your brand domain, engaging with your emails, and also purchasing on your website. So revenue per recipient is a good signal to see that, okay, where you stand month on month, quarter on quarter, the number of orders, the number of conversions. Normally, I've seen and heard that brands focus on RPC, which is revenue per campaign. But in my understanding, revenue per recipient is a good metric versus revenue per campaign. So these are the metrics which we focus on when we are sharing a dashboard with a CMO, which is beyond email metrics, but more towards the business outcomes and how email as a channel has helped achieve the goals or the revenue for the brand.
I love that answer because I completely agree. You shouldn't be thinking about deliverability on its own, because deliverability is a lever we're using to improve revenue per email list member. You know, it's like you can't really separate them. So I love the fact you're talking about looking at them together now. So we said we were going to be talking about using our lifecycle strategy within our email marketing to deliver great deliverability as well as great results, because they follow on. No, then they just follow on. So where do you start with building all of this in? Is it about, you know, creating more segmentation? Is it about creating rules of frequency? Is it about investing in content to improve customer trust? Where do we start? Where do we up our game, I suppose, is what I really mean.
What I would recommend is the lifecycle team and the brand should have a governance model to start with, right? Because you should have some model in place for you to gauge that, okay, if I want to focus on deliverability, right, how I can make sure that there is a mechanism, there is a framework, there is a process which revolves around the frequency which you talked about, the consent, the suppression, and if there's any escalation, right, which is happening during that journey. So stronger deliverability requires a clear ownership, right, a consistent process and a governance across the organization. Majority of the time, which we have seen with brands, there is no one who owns it, right? It's like either shared responsibility or there's no one who is looking into the deliverability. There's an agency which has been hired for and constantly looks into it. But the agency can only push you to focus on it, right? It's the brand who needs to own and focus and try to improvise. The first thing which I would recommend is a clear ownership of how you are going to focus on this framework and governance. Marketing, CRM, marketing ops, data, IT, everyone should understand their responsibilities. It's not only the responsibility of the email team, because it's a common use case where brands feel that, okay, if it's a delivery concern, it's the email team who is responsible about it. That's not the truth, right? The second one is more around having clear and consistent communication rules. You need to define the frequency limits, right? You need to have a clear frequency caps. And when I say frequency caps, people tend to focus on like frequency per channel, right? But it should be frequency per customer, right? You should not have a different frequency for email, SMS, in-app and push. It should be across the channel, right? It's not like, okay, I've sent already two emails to, let's say there was a frequency cap of 4 weeks, four emails per month. I've already consumed four emails for a particular user. I can still bombard them with SMS and in-app. That's not the right mentality, right? You need to have a frequency distributed across the channel rather than specific to channels. The other one is suppression logic. Many times we don't do that clean list hygiene process, right? We need to make sure that we at least half yearly or quarterly try to review what is our current list hygiene process, which we have in place, how many times we are reviewing any hard bounces, soft bounces, which are occurring constantly, right? And are we taking any actions on it or not? Do we have a clear consent management process? Are we explicitly asking for a consent when we are taking the user data? And are they aware that, okay, they would be receiving marketing communications from the brand? And when there is a period where you feel that, okay, there are a certain percentage of the audience which is not engaging and are dormant, try to have a re-engagement or a win-back policy across all lifecycle programs so that you can try to re-engage. And if they don't re-engage, the last thing is move them to sunset, right? Sunset those audience. And then don't touch it, right? Because those are not the people who want to, who would love to hear from your brand. The third area which I would love to discuss about is you need to monitor your risk proactively, right? Rather than being reactive to what has happened, right? In 90% of the cases, brands focus on being reactive rather than being proactive. You need to track your complaints in general sense, right? Your complaint rate should not be more than 0.1% of the sense, right? I'm not sure people or brands are following, but that's the cutoff. Your hard bounce should not be more than 2%. If you are having it, there's something which you need to look into on an immediate basis. You need to also develop an escalation playbook. Like, teams should know that if there's any challenge with the sender reputation or inbox placement or IP reputation, they need to understand where they should reach out and where they should focus on before it begins to decline and you go to the worst stage. You need to also make sure that this governance is set up as an enabler, right? Stronger governance protects customer trust and also allows your team to scale your lifecycle programs confidently.
I love that term governance model. I think we all need one of those for our email marketing, and so much good advice there. And I love your willingness to share those benchmarks too. Regular listeners will know I am frequently not a fan of benchmarks, but in this instance, I'm a massive fan of benchmarks because they are hard and fast benchmarks. You know, we know that if you hit that number, then you are about to start getting problems. It's not a, you could look at the trends, no. You need to look at those numbers. So I love you adding those into the mix, Jintan. Thank you very, very much. You mentioned, I think the automatic assumption when we talk about lifecycle with our email is that we're talking about what we're sending and automations. But a lot of what you were saying there was about how the data's coming in and what it's expecting to get from us. So setting the scene right and not just assuming it's fine, but actually regularly double checking it's still okay. And then who we decide to remove from the list. And I was smiling when you said about, you know, the people we're going to sunset and we're not going to mail again. Because I know coming up to Black Friday, there will be people going, oh, we've got 20,000 over there. Shall we send it? It's like, don't do it. You know, so that sunsetting part. Do you find that kind of like the data in and the data out of the active list is one of the critical things to get right to maintain deliverability and performance?
I definitely agree on it. Whatever data is coming into your system, that is your marketing automation platform, and the one which is leaving, right? You should make sure that leaving is easy, right? One term which constantly comes into my mind at this point is, we always try to make sure that people don't unsubscribe from our emails. But if they are doing unsubscribe, let them go. Make it easier for them to leave. Because one email address unsubscribe is fine versus receiving one complaint, right? Which is going to affect you on a long term, right? People and brands focus on the short-term revenue by focusing and not giving that preferences and options to the customers. But then in long run, they affect their deliverability. So I normally don't get afraid if there is a higher unsubscribe rate. That's a signal that, okay, you're not sending right things to the right people. You should optimize your strategy. Rather than being worrying about that, okay, there are a lot of unsubscribe, what I'll do, I should remove the unsubscribe button or should hide it, right? That's the common thing which comes into the mind because everyone wants to focus on the revenue. But now when we are talking about the data which is coming into the system and data which is coming out of the system, there are two ways. One is have a clear consent management process, right? Because the zero-party data and the first-party data are the crucial thing for you, right? When a customer is trying to sign up for your emails, right? They should know what they're expecting from the brand, right? You need to have that clear consent. Many brands don't they try to take consent for different channels, and they assume that, okay, if I take a single consent, I'll be able to leverage them on all the channels. But that's not true, right? You need to have consent for each and every channel, right? That's the common thing. And it's the best thing in my understanding, because if I'm getting a consent from the user for all the channels, they are interested in my brands and my messages, rather than assuming that, okay, I have the details of their phone number. I have the, they've already downloaded my application. I can directly start sending them SMS. I can start sending them notifications in app and push. That should not be the mindset which we should develop. I prefer that we should focus on more of a quality over quantity in terms of the subscriber base, right? A smaller engaged audience consistently outperforms a larger database, right? And I'm sure if you, one example which I'll give across is for a good publication house who's our customer. They have a database of around like 12 million users and subscribers. But when we asked them, they're like, what is the last 30 days email send database? It was just 30% of that overall database, right? They were only sending it to that 30% of that 12 million users. Rest of them were just sitting idle into their database, and they were getting charged from the platform, incurred cost into tech, but then they were not focusing on how to get the best out of the rest of the 70%, right? So you need to always focus on having a quality audience versus the quantity. Make sure that you have you maintain a healthy database, like removing hard bounces, suppressing long-term inactive users. And inactive definition varies, right? People normally takes inactive as if a subscriber or a customer is not getting engaged with my email, it's an inactive, but that's not the case. Am I active on website? Am I active on your app, right? If that's the case, right, email is not making a huge difference to that subscriber, right? You need to make sure that you come into that view that, okay, that person is able to engage with your email. So if I'm inactive on an email for 30 or 60 days, brands directly try to exclude me from an active segment, but that should not be the good case. You should see if I'm active on other channels, try to get the best out of it rather than just making them inactive. One other part, right, which is more around re-engagement as a whole, right? You talked about that, okay, in a Black Friday, Cyber Monday scenario, if you have 20,000 inactive audience, should we send an email to them or we should not? Many times brand feels that, okay, let's blast an email. What will happen? They won't, either we'll get a good order, we won't get any good order. There would be zero, let's say, hardly any open rates, hardly click rates, but let's give it a shot. It's fine, but then you are affecting your sender reputation, right? There are other ways to do it. What we recommend to brand is that after you have set up your win back and after your sunset flow is done, if people are still not engaging, you need to do something different. We recommend that you should remove those 20,000 users from your marketing automation platform and try to do a re-engagement paid ads, right? Give them a way, right? You have the email address, load it into the Meta, right? Load it into the Instagram, right? Target them, right? If they come back and sign up again, that's an active user, right? It's just a smaller investment. You are re-engaging a set of user to bring them back rather than just keeping it into your marketing automation platform and charging and getting charged for those user. So that's what my re-engagement strategy would be when people are not engaging with my email, and I've also done with win back and sunset flow. And the last part, which I feel is more important, is how we can make sure that you also focus on ROI along with deliverability. Because once you have a better list quality, your complaints will reduce, your inbox placement will increase, and it will directly and automatically work on conversion. So you will have better conversion when it is a more engaging audience you have. So these are the ways, right, where you focus on how to get the best out when people are entering your ecosystem. And if people are not engaging, move them out of the system. Run a paid ad, bring them back, and then you can definitely have your own workflows which will be engaging with them.
I love that paid ad strategy. Chintan, this is awesome. It's brilliant picking your brains about all of this. Listeners, make sure you stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Chintan's insider tips and my suggestions for what other ways we can help you, and also the reveal of what our next series is going to be all about here on Keep Optimizing.
I think it would be impossible to be in e-commerce and not have heard of Klaviyo. Over 193,000 brands in over 80 countries use Klaviyo to drive their email marketing, SMS campaigns, and sales performance. The way Klaviyo are incorporating AI and personalization across the platform is one to watch for all of us, enabling their users to really push ever upwards the performance of their customer communications. If you want to see what you can now get with the Klaviyo platform, maybe have a poke around to work out if it's yet time to migrate, then you can sign up for a free trial right now. Just head to keepopt.com/Klaviyo and find out if it's time for you to make the move.
Okay, Chinta. So far, we've gone deep into why a good lifecycle strategy is essential for great deliverability and performance. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of email marketing. Not that you haven't been doing that already anyway, but so for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with email, which of course does include everything we've already been talking about. Chintan, are you ready for the insider tips?
Yep. Yeah, let's go ahead.
Awesome. Let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
This might sound a little odd, but I would recommend that try to get the boring fundamentals set right before anything you move into the clever steps, right? When I say that, okay, you start focusing on authentication or provide or have a provable consent, right? Which is like basic steps, right? And fundamental things and boring things, obviously, because deliberate is something is not an like a topic which marketers love to talk about. But I feel you should start with basic fundamental things. Set up your SPF, DKIM, DMARC on day one when you're if you're starting today, right? Which is easier, free, and like mandatory if you follow the rules, regulations, and the compliance. Enroll your brands into Google Postmaster, Yahoo Postmaster, and similar tools so that you can monitor your inbox placements. Don't buy a list. Don't rent a list, right? That's the last thing you want to do. and also make sure that you have a frequency setup. And at least acknowledge the preferences which your users feel. If they say that I need to hear from you on a weekly basis, don't overshoot your emails to them, right? You need to be mindful of what they are sharing. And the best thing is focus on your welcome flow, because that is the one which helps you get the best out of your audience when they are entering your ecosystem, rather than building 10 journeys to start with.
Oh, brilliant advice. Once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Optimization is everything everyone wants to focus on, right? It's not like no one wants to focus on improvising. I feel that the first thing which we should focus on is engagement toward sending. If people are engaging, focus on that, right? Double down on that audience, right? But don't overshoot. Again, when I say double down, it's not like you'd send them emails every day. You need to be mindful. Reassess or rescore your list, right? The hygiene checks, which I said, like in terms of how many visits are there, how many clicks are there, right? But don't focus on the opens. So scoring should be based on clicks and visits, not on the opens for the list. Focus on, and they make sure that you focus on the frequency cap, which has been set, right? Double down on the actives who are opening and engaging with your emails. Half to lapsing, like people who are not engaged, right? Reduce that frequency to half. Let's say if you're doing 8 campaigns a month, right? Active, it's still fine. If it's lapsing, do the half of it, right? And the one which are already in dormant, try to focus as a win back, right? And see if they are still interested in your brand. If not, just move them out of your marketing automation platform. And try to make sure that you optimize your marketing automation platform or channel by revenue per recipient and not by revenue per campaign. Because that will be the one which will help you to understand that, okay, how you expose your DK volume, right? If that's there's an audience which is getting DK'd, you'll be able to get the signals from the RPR, that is revenue per recipient.
Love that. And love that you're reiterating the point about revenue per recipient, not revenue per campaign, because the latter is a surefire way to end up with one email a day offering 50% of something, which is not good. It's just not good, everybody. Don't do it. Focus on the overall picture. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there one cheap or free resource you would recommend?
I've been reading and like, well, I'm sure you are across and aware of him. There's a book from Chad White, who's like a deliberate expert, right? And majorly talks about email marketing rules. I know that's not something which would be quite interesting for marketers to read, but try to follow that email marketing rules by Chad White. It's somewhere around $40 or under. I'm not sure of the exact pricing, but that's something which is close thing to the deliberability Bible, right? Where you can get the basics and can learn about it. Learn about the Google Postmaster tool, which is free, right? You would be able to get the knowledge from Google. There's good email communities like Lifecycle Luminaries, Email Geeks as a Slack community, which helps you to enhance your knowledge on different topics of around email marketing, also around email delivery. And the last one is reach out to Mavler's resources and eBooks, right? There is a blog section where we constantly share knowledge around email marketing, lifecycle marketing, and also around delivery. So these are the areas which I would recommend for someone to have a free or cheap resources to focus on, right, and try to learn and increase their knowledge.
Love those. And we did have Chad White on the show a very long time ago. I think it's one of our first five guests, if I remember rightly. So everyone, we'll make sure I plug that. I'll tell you more about that after we say goodbye to Chintan. A couple of questions for you before we do that, though. Finally, it's crystal ball time. So what's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for in the world of email?
Everyone knows the answer about it. It's AI, right? Everyone is talking about it. And I'm not going to talk different. The inbox is getting an AI layer, right? I'm sure you would have heard about AI inbox summarization, right? Where Gemini is giving you the summary of your email in a one-liner. So your value proposition must survive the one-line machine summary, right? So things has changed completely. Initially, it was just like your from address or the sender address, the subject line, which was making a difference. But now it's that one-liner, right, which is going to make a much difference. So be it Gemini or Apple Mail, because Apple Mail also started categorizing inbox similar to Gmail tabs in iPhone. So primary placement battle is back. It was for Google. Now it's for Apple too. Make sure that you also focus on Microsoft because it is also catching to Gmail and Yahoo. So expect the DMARC at quarantine or reject to become a common term and a working norm. So be aware and make sure that you are across and aware of it. BME and verified logos, which was a good talk of the town, right, a couple of years back, but people on brands are not following it. But now it's not from nice to have. It has moved towards some basic trust signals, right? So make sure that you implement it and also follow that. Engagement data is getting more scarce, right? So first party and zero party data programs become the most, and it's the mode of your overall lifecycle marketing program.
Wow, loads of good stuff there. I love that. Thank you, Chintan. So much value in this episode. Those who want to get in contact with you and find out more about Mavler's, how can they go about doing that?
You can reach out to me on my LinkedIn. You can find me. If not, reach out to www.mavlers.com. If you need support or need some advice, right, feel free to reach out to Mavler's and fill a form. I'll try to reach out and on an email or schedule a call to hear you out, your pain areas, challenges on lifecycle marketing, be it on the operation side, be it on the strategy side, right, whether you need support with any of the marketing automation platform. Feel free to reach out to our website and either chat on our website or fill a contact us form and we'll make sure that we'll reach out to you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that, Chintana. Thank you for being such a brilliant guest. So much to put on our email to-do lists and test lists there. I love it. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Perfect. Thanks, Chloe, for having me here. And it was really great having a conversation. I'm sure the audience would be loving the content and happy to hear right how this shapes up out. But thank you for hosting. Chloe is an amazing host and definitely want to keep in touch with you.
Me too. How much did Chintan pack into that episode? So much. I myself have a massive to-do list. I suspect you have one too. And you may well be thinking I need to listen back to that again because it really does demonstrate how deliverability and performance go hand in hand and how our world of email marketing is adapting and evolving. You can, as well as listening again, you can get our links to the things we talked about, the full transcript and our notes at keepoptimizing.com. You can use our direct episode short link, keepopt.com/the number of this episode. That will take you straight to the right page on the site, speed up your journey a little bit. And when you get to the website, you can add yourself to our email list. Then you won't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. And you can also email me back to let me know what I'm doing wrong from what Chintan just ran through, because I know we're doing a few things wrong. Will you spot them? Will you spot something I don't realize we're doing wrong? We shall find out. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, then check out episode 309, a few before this one, where I'm chatting with Kate Hammond about how to work out what to say in your emails, because we didn't really touch on the what stuff. We talked about the how stuff today. So I think that will help you build on this. And then the book that Chintan mentioned by Chad White. Chad's awesome, really, really awesome in the world of email. He was our first ever guest on the Keep Optimizing podcast. So if you want to hear from Chad, then scroll back to episode 1, where we had our first ever interview. Our first series was on email, and our first guest was Chad White, who just got mentioned in this one, which is kind of cool because this is the last email episode of this latest email 5-episode masterclass. So that means that all 5 of these episodes are now live. Please do have a listen to all of them and get your email up to speed over the summer. You can either scroll up your podcast feed to find them or use the short link keepopt.com/email to find all of it on the website. Our next masterclass is, imaginary drumroll please, not just about A-B testing, but about the whole world of conversion rate optimization. We will be looking at all the wide range of e-commerce levers you can pull to improve your conversion rates and thus the results of your marketing. I'm currently putting together that series, so expect stuff on pricing, on personalization, on trust signals and all sorts of different things, as well as I'm sure we'll have at least one episode that goes deep into techie CRO as well. But loads of cool stuff come up in this next series. You can pick up what we've done before on conversion rate optimization at keepopt.com/CRO. And make sure you stay tuned in 2 Wednesdays' time to catch the start of that new series. No episode next week, which means that you've got time to catch up on any of the email marketing episodes you've missed or re-listen to any of them or share with your team, et cetera, and put it into action. That is the most important thing about this podcast, is that you take the things you learn in these episodes and you put them into action. Now, I know I've already admitted that I learned something from the last episode and I still haven't put it in place. I will be making sure I do that in the 2-week gap between episodes. So you do that too, please. And make sure you subscribe to us or following us on your favorite podcast player so you don't miss out on the next episodes we put live. And if you know someone who's particularly interested in improving their email or CRO at the moment, then please do let them know we're covering it, because this show exists to help all of you improve your e-commerce marketing. Have a great week, and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Time to migrate to Klaviyo? keepopt.com/Klaviyo for your free trial.